This is the Bloomberg Advantage with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
And the Bloomberg Advantage brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Crash. Could we see some kind of market correction of some sort? Well, our next guest says,
Eddie Money.
Probably. I don't know. Is that Eddie Money? It is Eddie Money. From Brooklyn, Carol Masser, Corey Johnson, Don Steinberger is with us, back with us, managing partner at Agecroft Partners, based in Richmond, Virginia, in our Bloomberg 1130 studio on this Friday. Nice to have you back with us.
It's a pleasure.
Market crash? Market correction?
Well, I think the probability of a market correction is significantly higher than average. I mean, right now you have the capital markets being propped up by easy monetary authority of around the world.
But that's been the case for a while.
You know, bubbles can last a long time. You know, in mid-August, you had $13 billion trading at negative interest rates, which is almost a third of tradable fixed income.
That's amazing.
The equity market is trading above historical averages, despite slow earnings growth, despite slight slow growth around the world. And the only reason it's as high as it is because interest rates are so low. So the correlation between equities and fixed income have gone up.
So it's really, I feel like it's such an interesting time in the markets. I mean, I look at today's trade and a sell-off in the markets today. Not that it's substantial, but you have a lot of money readjusting positions, and it just seems like there's a sort of underlying hint of bearishness, even as the market is near its all-time highs.
Well, the thing that I think is very scary is that most pension funds, institutional investors are using efficient portfolio theory to construct portfolios. And their objective is to generate the highest return for a given level of risk. And most pension funds think they're very diversified. They have all these different managers that use all these different equity strategies, small cap, large cap, non-U.S., emerging market, same thing on the fixed income side. And when you build out these portfolios, they are looking at three different assumptions. One is the expected return for each asset class. The second is what they think the volatility of each of those asset classes is going to be going forward. And the third is correlation. What is the relative movement of each of these markets? And the problem is, in a market sell-off, the entire model breaks down. You know, correlations are dynamic. They tend to move to one. The relative movement of long-only investments increases during a market sell-off. The volatility that they're expecting also changes in a market sell-off. Volatility spikes. So the point is, the tail risk of these portfolios is significantly larger than what most people think. And people need to think about tail risk, just like if you have a house on the ocean in Florida, you got to think about hurricanes. I mean, it might not happen anytime soon.
So you're saying efficient portfolios don't necessarily work anymore? Or what?
I'm saying that the whole model does not work in a market sell-off. The correlation relative movement, which is what most people use to build out portfolios that are diversified, they're looking at correlation over a full market cycle. They're not looking at what the correlation is when the market sells off.
Right.
So
we've seen a lot of strange correlations. Corey and I have been talking about it a lot, about, you know, the bond and stock market kind of trading in tandem.
The correlation between stocks and bonds have gone up significantly.
Yeah.
And so the whole point is, you need to think about tail risk. You need to think about what are ways that you can reduce that tail risk if there is a market sell-off. And most people think, you know, market's going to rebound really quickly. What they forget is, in 1929, the worst sell-off we had in the U.S., the market sold off almost 90% mm-hmm. and took 23 years to recover. So markets don't always bounce back quickly. And if you're investing in a portfolio, you got to make sure you're very comfortable with that portfolio, even if there is a market sell-off.
It's interesting. As you say this, you know, I think it's absolutely true. And yet we see, you know, when I look at the professional money manager business, you see the involvement in short-only funds, and totally talking my historic book, if not my book. But, you know, I worked at a short-only fund for a while, and there was a time when there were a lot of funds, a lot of pension funds, a lot of endowments would have some allocation towards short-only equities and then short-only funds that were very good at this. And now you see – you know, long short hedge funds using ETFs as their short strategy, which I would say is a very lazy short and by definition will not outperform on the downside. You've got a lot of allocators not allocating to the short side, and you see fewer and fewer investors willing to, you know, professional investors willing to be short, actually short stocks and, you know, fakes and frauds and crummy companies.
Well, you know, the number of short managers has declined, although short managers are doing pretty well this year. If you look at the HFRI index, picking shorts has been really difficult. But there's a lot of different hedge fund strategies that, you know, you can invest in that aren't correlated with the market and will reduce tail risk. And I think one of the concerns of some of these pension funds is they're moving away from hedge funds, putting the money in equities, and some of them are well over 70% in equities with, you know, 50, 60% funding of the pension fund, and they can't withstand a major market sell-off.
You know, what do you make of, there's a story on the Bloomberg today from our gadfly, this is our fast commentary section. They just talk about how hedge funds should quit belly aching about being too big. But do you think that's a serious, I mean, have they gotten too big? And that is what's a big reason behind them not able to provide the returns or see the returns that they've had, although they've always kind of been big.
Well, so
some of them have.
I think big is bad. And I think, first of all, you got to remember the hedge fund industry is not an asset class. It is a fund structure that has a lot of different strategies.
Right.
So size impacts certain strategies a lot more than others. The fact the industry has gotten very big means that a lot of the inefficiencies some of these strategies you're going after are slowly going away, so it's more difficult to generate returns. I think it's a bigger issue with just big managers. If you look at the returns of the HFRI index year to date, they have two different indices. One is asset-weighted, which overweights all the large hedge funds, and the other is equally weighted. The asset-weighted one is only up about 0.5%. The equally weighted is up 3.5%, which means smaller hedge funds are generating higher returns than these larger managers that most institutions are throwing their money at.
So, and yet you've also had this collapse of the fund-to-fund business, which should, on some level, improve returns to the actual investors because there's no sort of middleman, or there's less of a middleman.
You know, there's pluses and minuses. A lot of the institutions are leaving fund-to-fund, so the fees that they're able to reduce are significant because they're able to negotiate directly with these hedge funds, often cutting the fees they pay in half. The negative is for smaller investors, you know, fund-to-funds are kind of an ideal vehicle for them to invest in hedge funds.
I just got 15 seconds. I hate to cut you so short. But so what's your advice to investors right now in this environment where things are kind of distorted?
My biggest advice is think about the tail risk in the portfolio and make sure you can live with that portfolio or the potential drawdown. If you can't, consider changing your asset allocation.
All right, we got to run. Hey, Don, thank you.
Nice My
to
pleasure.
See you.
Good
Have
to be
a good
here.
Weekend. Don Steinberger, he's managing partner at Agecroft Partners, based in Richmond, Virginia, in our Bloomberg 1130 studio right here in New York City. Coming up, we've got a check on the markets for you. Also, the latest from the campaign trail. This is Bloomberg.